As Neil had mentioned at the beginning of this year, 2016, we're looking at a series entitled Living for Christ. And we're using our church covenant that is renewed the first Sunday of the year as the backdrop for our consideration for our living for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, Pastor Matthias spoke in the opening sentence of this covenant. And today we'll be considering the middle chunk or section of this covenant along the theme of having all things or nothing. And I think it would be helpful for me to begin by reading this covenant, and the section that we are considering today should be highlighted in your program in bold. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, O gracious, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. May it be so, and may the covenant which I have made here on earth be confirmed in heaven. Amen. Well, at the heart of this section of our covenant is the theme of the Christian grace of contentment. And I'd like for us to look at this portion of the covenant from the grid or the perspective of the Apostle Paul. Much can be said of the Apostle Paul before he came to know the risen and exalted Savior, as described in Acts chapter 9. But certainly, the word contentment would not describe the Apostle Paul before he knew Jesus. Our society is permeated with a spirit of discontent. Greed has destroyed gratitude. Getting has replaced giving. Think of the lottery craze that's going on today in our nation. Great discontent over the economy, over the current political climate and situation. Well, in the pursuit of self-sufficiency, we have lost our way. We have sown to the wind, and we have reaped the whirlwind. Individually, as we begin this new year, many of us face personal circumstances, things that we would like to see reversed. The Apostle Paul here, especially as we consider Paul in the book of Philippians, one of our verses is from Philippians chapter 4, but the Apostle Paul had every reason to complain. He found himself in prison as a Roman citizen, certainly in prison for no justifiable reason. At a certain level, he was prevented from doing the work which the Lord called him as the apostle to the Gentiles. But instead of grumbling, we find him rejoicing. He speaks of having learned in whatever situation he found himself in to be content. How is it that the Apostle Paul could say that he learned to be content? We find Paul, after he came to know the Lord Jesus and his greatness and his glory, that Paul himself changed. The gospel brings a change. The work of Christ is a transforming thing The Bible speaks of our being made new, being new creations in Christ. And among the changes that take place is a change of our priorities and our perspective on our circumstances and the very things that would bring us pleasure. Now, the centerpiece of the book of Philippians is the exposition of the mind of Christ. That the Lord Jesus came with great power and glory, but that he humbled himself to the point of being a servant, obedient, even to the point of death. And Paul in the book of Philippians applies this glorious pattern and truth of the Lord Jesus to a variety of situations in life throughout his letter, that his readers might be trained to think Christianly and to live faithfully for Jesus Christ. So let's look at our passage from Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 13. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, this passage does not mean that the Apostle Paul had an easy life after he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in the book of Acts, as well as the context of the book of Philippians, here he writes from prison, and prison in chains for the Lord Jesus, that his experience was quite the contrary, that he encountered opposition and difficulties because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. He writes to the Christians in Corinth of this. In his first letter to them, he writes, to this present hour, we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. And Paul opens his heart and life to these believers at Corinth, even more so in his second letter when he speaks of the reality of his lot in following the Lord Jesus. He speaks of imprisonments, countless beatings, often near death. 5 times, Paul writes, I've received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. A night and a day, I was adrift at sea. Unfrequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles. Danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then he writes of the daily anxiety of the care of the churches. And then he says, I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped. The Apostle Paul does not deny the reality of pain or of difficulty. These things are not a product of a fertile imagination. Instead, they're the reality of what he experienced in life. I'd like for us for a few minutes as we think about this passage from Philippians chapter 4 to think of 3 things. The first is that we might have a gratitude for what we receive. The Apostle Paul evidenced great joy in the Lord. And though at times he had little, he had much rejoicing and thankfulness, even as he writes from his cell in prison. His heart overflows with gratitude to his God and his Savior who was with him there in prison. We read how that Christ himself was very precious to the Apostle Paul, how he rescued him from sin and appointed him as his representative, and that he has blessed him with spiritual blessings in Christ. These very things that the jailers could not take from him. He had friends in the body of Christ that prayed for him, that sent him gifts, the Epaphroditus, on behalf of the church at Philippi, that is the part of the origin of his writing this letter. In the previous verse, verse 10, he gave thanks to God, and he used a term that was used in horticulture of his day, and that is, he writes of their concern, that their concern for him bloomed again. And it's the picture of flowers blooming in the spring after the winter cold and frost. They were to him as flowers of the field in their generosity and their love, their care for him. And so he writes that he rejoices greatly in the Lord, because he knew that from God comes every good and perfect gift. So the place for us to begin is we consider having a biblical, a Christian contentment is in our attitude towards what we have received. And may we, like the Apostle Paul, grow in gratefulness and a cheerful rejoicing in our God, who is good, who is generous, who gives us not what we deserve, but has given us blessing upon blessing in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The second point from this passage is the importance of our cultivating a contentment with our situations, our circumstances. Contentment is a detachment from anxious concern about the outward features of our circumstances. For the Apostle Paul, his joy in Christ, his happiness, if I can use that word for it in a biblical sense, they were not tethered to his circumstances. They weren't dependent upon his current experience. Through Christ, Paul gained an ability to be set free from a reliance upon things for his satisfaction. For we know that our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions, that the things that we have, things that have been entrusted to us, things which moths eat and rust destroys, these things will not last, and they do not fully satisfy. Here, Paul uses this word that's found only here in Philippians chapter 4, this word content. This word content is a loaded word in Paul's own day, because it was the vocabulary of the Stoics. And the Stoics saw the virtue of self-sufficiency or independence apart from help from others as one of the highest attainments. Freedom from weakness or needs, that we might be independent of others, was part of what they meant by being content. Seneca wrote, "Man should be sufficient unto himself for all things, and able by the power of his will to resist the force of circumstances. So the Stoics saw man to be a superman who was to rise above circumstances and be independent, self-sufficient. Similar to our modern day expressions, perhaps, I did it my way. Or he was a self-made man. Expression I heard, particularly in the area where I was born and grew up. Or I am the captain of my own soul. This would be modern expressions of this attitude of self-sufficiency and independence. But the Apostle Paul transforms by the gospel this term of contentment in a powerful Christ-centered redefinition. He writes that he and all who are in Christ are God-sufficient, not self-sufficient. And that we are those who are God-dependent, not self-dependent. That our contentment, regardless of our circumstances, is rooted in our eternal God and who he is and what he has done, rather than in the temporal self. The difference between the Stoic understanding of virtue and the biblical understanding of dependence upon God could hardly be more clearly described or illustrated than the way Paul uses it here. For Paul writes that he learned to cast himself upon the Lord, to trust the Lord with each and every one of his needs, just as our Savior taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And by the power of Christ, Paul learned to cope with his circumstances, whether he had much or little. He learned to deal with meager supplies. Here again, Paul is drawing upon this example of the Lord Jesus, who came in humility. Though he was a man of great power, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And so Paul found great help in Christ and in the Word of Christ, Word of his God. We find here that he also knew the dangers of prosperity. You know, we can stumble when we're holding and carrying too much in our hands. We can easily trip and fall trying to carry the things of this world. But Paul, whether he had little or much, he never complained. And he found that Christ was his strength and his help to deal with the circumstances and the traps that come with either little or much. Now, Paul's understanding of God's provision and help did not mean that Paul did not work. We read that Paul was a tent maker. He labored diligently, and he called upon the Thessalonian believers who believed that Christ would come so imminently that they fled to the mountains. He called them from the mountains back to the Christ-honoring labors that the Lord Jesus had for them. And so contentment doesn't mean that we are not responsible with the work and using the gifts that Christ has given us. Paul not only uses this word content in a very significant way, he also speaks that he learned contentment. This word learned was also a very important word in his day, for it was the word that was used of the various religions or mystery cults in the first century. Of those who were initiated into them, they learned the mysteries of that particular false religion or cult. But Paul says what he learned is an open secret. It's something that's available to all who trust and believe in Christ. He writes, to know Christ and to follow him, to know his unsearchable riches, that the Lord provides his needs. John Calvin said that a disposition with the lot which God has assigned to him because he is persuaded that his affairs are regulated by God's providence and God's good pleasure. So we've seen, firstly, that we are to cultivate an attitude of gratitude with respect to what God provides for us. And then secondly, we've seen that we are to be those who are to be content regardless of our circumstances. And we come thirdly to this truth from this passage, and particularly found in verse 13, is that our confidence is in Christ, who is our source of strength. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, is one of the most frequently quoted verses in the Bible. It's plastered on our mirrors, on our dashboards. It's been used in needlepoint and in calligraphy, this glorious truth that we find vital strength through union with our Savior Jesus Christ, that he supplies us with the grace and the help that we need for every situation, that we can have a confidence in him, that he will help us in whatever circumstance he leads us to. Now, it's very important as we think about this truth, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, that we do not isolate this verse from the context of this chapter and of these verses. Because Paul is not saying, I can do everything. Instead, he's saying, I can do everything God wants me to do, what God has called me to do. I can receive his strength and his help. For Christ is a fountain that never runs dry. There is satisfaction and joy in our Savior that carries us through regardless of our circumstances. What rich encouragement is found for us in the gospel and in this gospel promise that Paul states here, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Because it is only in Christ that we can learn true contentment, when our identity becomes tethered to Jesus and to the gospel, we can begin to have a contentment that he works in our lives by the Holy Spirit, that gives birth and grows in our lives, in which we are becoming more and more contented, just like our Savior himself lived as the most contented man, willing to do the Father's will. My food, he said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, who indwells his children, produces a similar type of contentment in us, that in Christ that we would be willing to do the work to which we have been called in him. This contentment is not only in Christ, it is also for Christ. In the sense that Paul writes in the book of Philippians here, for Christ's sake, we are prepared to lose all things as we are found in him, which is echoed in the covenant here. Indeed, Paul says, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness of my own that does not come from the law, but which comes through faith in Christ. And I think here often of John Calvin's motto. His emblem was that of a picture. He would seal his letters during part of his ministry. Picture of a flaming heart that was held up in a hand with this inscription: "My heart I offer to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely." Being contented in Christ means that we are also contented with him. It's only as we have a sense of his presence that we know that he is with us and we are in him, that he gives us the grace and strength we need. It's highlighted in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's only as we know that Christ is with us, that his grace is sufficient, that though we are weak, Paul speaks a great deal about weakness, and I'll forego the scripture passages that detail his weakness, but he knew that with Christ, Christ's grace is sufficient for him and for his very weakness. This week, I've discovered a lesser known hymn, "O Christ, in thee my soul hath found." I just want to read the brief refrain as we come to a close considering this portion of our covenant and of Philippians chapter 4. "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee." That's what the Apostle Paul found in Christ, in the gospel. When he was weak, Christ was his strength. When he was empty, Christ filled him up. When he was poor, Christ enriched him. In whatever situation, he found his contentment in Christ. May we be those, though we are weak, though we are needy, we are those in whatever circumstance we are, to be contented in the Lord Jesus. Or as we say in our covenant, "Put me to what you will, place me with whom you will, put me to doing, put me to suffering, let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing." Am I contented in Christ? Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, you are the spring of life, our Savior, of salvation, and of grace and help for our every need. We pray that we might find our satisfaction in you, and that as we look to you and be those who are dependent upon you, that we might know the richness of the sufficiency of your grace and help. Help us with our various circumstances, whether we are in plenty or in want, to be those who find the help and presence of our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.